Welcome to episode 522 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Donna. Park City, Utah has a rich history, and there is a world of opportunities for the outdoorsy type. In the mid-1800s, Park City was established as a silver mining town, and the influences of that history can still be seen today. Looking like an old Western movie set, Main Street is filled with galleries, shops, and restaurants, not to mention the fantastic peaks that surround the town. Donna went to Utah in the shoulder season of September and is here tonight to tell us about her adventures. So let's get started. So I can tell you that I know absolutely nothing about Park City and not a whole heck about Utah. So
I know about Sundance, but that's
fill
all.
Fill us in, Donna.
Well, so interesting that you mentioned Sundance and everything, because we'll get to that. Park City, I mean, I've always heard about it as a ski resort. I didn't really know much about it because I had not been skiing in Utah. Now, of course, in September, it wasn't open yet, but we did a little pricing, and most of the peaks are black diamonds and double blacks, so it's for very experienced skiers. There's very little greens and blues at Park City, and the cost is very similar to Aspen.
Okay. Do you do those like black diamonds and stuff?
No.
Okay. I mean, I know you like to ski and you've been to a lot of places.
I am not a good skier. I like it, and I'm a bad skier, but I enjoy
it. I'm with you there.
So no, I am a green and blue skier. It would be way beyond my abilities. So I would probably ski in Deer Valley because there's a lot more blues and greens. So, which is right down the road. The great thing is that you are literally, you know, just within 30 minutes of the airport, there's so many ski resorts to go to. It's actually a lot more compact than doing the Colorado thing. Colorado takes you a good 2 hours, 2.5 hours sometimes to get to some of these resorts. You were there in 30 minutes from the airport. So it's a lot more conducive to getting on the slopes quickly.
Was that Salt Lake City
airport? Yeah, fly into Salt Lake City. If you go east, you're going to hit Deer Valley and Park City, and if you go south, you're going to hit Snowbird and Alta. So, yeah, you're smack dab in the middle of it. So
where did you stay once you got there?
We stayed at the Marriott Summit Watch. My family, we own a timeshare, so we used our timeshare. But it is, of course, available for rental. It's very, very, very reasonable during the shoulder season. As far as cost, we got a 2-bedroom unit. It was really great because they were suites. So the one unit had a full living room and a full kitchen, dining room, master bath, full tub, jacuzzi tub and bathroom with shower. And then Alex, we put her on in the lock off, and that was basically a typical studio type apartment because it had the one bedroom. It was all one room instead of being in individual rooms. It was the bedroom, and then you had a small kitchenette. So a very small, like, 2-burner stove, a microwave, you know, a smaller refrigerator. So,
Okay.
But it was very reasonable in the shoulder season. If you're not a skier and you just want to go see some beautiful country, it's a fantastic time of year to go.
Great. Now, do most of the ski resorts have their own, I guess, lodges would be the word for it?
Yes and no. So this was actually this was actually not on the mountain. There was actually another Marriott that was on the mountain. But the great thing is there was a sky bridge over the street, and it, you literally walk across the sky bridge and you could take the city lift up to the ski resort. So very, very, very convenient. Even though it's not considered slopeside, this would definitely be convenient. The great thing is that a lot of these resorts, most of these, when you're talking ski resorts, they do, like Deer Valley and Sundance had ski rental gear and ski patrols and lessons and all right there in that complex. The Summit Watch did not. However, there was a ski shop because it was mixed use. So you had the hotel rooms and condos above the businesses. So they had lots of restaurants down on the first floor, and they did have a ski shop where you could go rent gear.
Cool. Nice. So tell us a little bit about downtown Park City.
Well, so there, Park City is actually, it's a small town. There's really not much off of the main drag on Main Street. You do have some grocery stores and, you know, real estate offices and things like that. But on the main drag is where you're going to have your shopping, most of your restaurants. There's a couple of ski shops. There's bicycle shops because they also, not only in the summer, they do mountain biking, but you get the fat tires in the winter season. Mm-hmm. There's a phenomenal little tea room there, and it was amazing, and it was called Atticus, and it was all based around To Kill a Mockingbird.
Cool.
And it had, what was really neat about this particular bookstore, so there's a bookstore inside the tea room, and it was mostly a tea room, not a coffee shop, which I kind of liked that. But they did have coffee, but most of the books that they had on it were all on the banned book list.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So, and that was literally downstairs from our room. So we went down there every morning for tea.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
You had to put something in here I can't pronounce. Is this Czech Kolaches and Babka's class?
Yes. So
okay.
You did good. So thanks. George, what it is that there's a lady in town, and we booked this actually through Project Expedition, which is one of our favorite excursion companies. And it's a cooking class, and she only allows like 6 to 8 people, and it's in her house. So we had to drive over to her house, and we made Czech kolaches. And babkas. So the kolaches are kind of like a Danish with different toppings on the top, but you can also make them like a little purse, which is how we made them.
Are these the things you get at Bucky's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're not super, super sweet. And she basically gave us the recipes on how to make it. And then the babka, what it is it's the exact same dough, but it's done more like in a braid, and you put in, they gave us two choices. You can either put Nutella in it, which is what I did, or you could do this cinnamon butter mix. And what was great is they basically, she gave us the raw dough and we put it in there, and we took it back to our condo, and we stuck it in the oven and baked it ourselves. So it was nice and hot and fresh for the next morning for breakfast.
So it sounds like you had a rental car. Is this a location that you could get around in without one, or is it just spread out?
Well, you could if you're going for the ski thing. If you're going to just go skiing, there's public transportation, and you would just take a transfer from the airport to the ski resorts. And then you know, if you're going to be on the slopes all day, it doesn't matter. But if you really want to go explore, yes, you're going to need a car.
All right.
Yep. which is what we did.
So let's talk a little bit about Sundance.
Okay. So Sundance is actually a ski resort, and we drove up there, and I was kind of shocked at how little it was and how nondescript. And I'm like, how do they do a film festival here? They said, well, they started doing the film festival there at the resort, but they quickly outgrew it. And now it's actually, the film festival itself is actually in downtown Park City. That's where everything really takes place. However, the original Sundance Resort, we took the chairlift up to the mountain and we're overlooking the lakes and everything in the area. And we did, Alex and I did a zip line. And it's one of the tallest zip lines in North America.
Right down the mountain, huh?
Yeah, it was. Jeff couldn't do it, so but we the two of us did it, and it was funny because I kind of got stuck on the first one, and there's a cotter pin in the rig that kind of it's a brake to basically make you slow down, and he took it out, and then all of a sudden it started working right. And I was like, oh, that's what it's supposed to do. So Alex needed the brake because she was going too fast, but I needed no brakes because I needed that little extra oomph. So.
Cool.
But they said what was interesting is that there are more mountain biking trails in Utah in that general vicinity of anywhere else in the entire country. So if you're a mountain biking enthusiast, this is a fantastic place to go. And especially this time of year, it's not too hot. It cools off in the evenings, and the leaves were all changing. So it was, you know, it was beautiful.
That does sound good. So what can you tell us about Heber City?
Heber City is kind of the jumping off point to a couple of the resorts, Sundance and as well as sorry, I can't remember the name of the parks.
Sounds like the whole state is like parks.
It really is. Heber City, there's a lot of boating there, as well as golf, restaurants, and this is where we actually went horseback riding. The company that we went with, again, we booked it through Project Expedition. It was a fantastic outfit. I figured when we showed up that it would be a small group, you know, 6 or 8 people. It was actually a private lesson or a private trail ride. And we went up into the Utah High Country desert and overlooking all of Heber City and the mountains and everything, and just amazing views. So highly recommend doing the horseback riding. And I asked, they actually do horseback riding 365 days a year, of course, depending on weather. If it's a blizzard, they don't usually tend to go out, but even when it's cold and snowy, they still take the horses out and go do trail rides.
That sounds pretty fun. Okay, the next thing to talk about is something that I am really interested in, which is the Olympic Park at Park City. As a big Olympics enthusiast, especially Winter Olympics.
And it's going back to Park City in the next few years. So
is it summer or winter?
Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics is coming back to Park City. So
I guess that's good because they already built all that stuff, right?
They did. So this is, it's an interesting place. This is the Olympic Park, and this is actually where the athletes train. And they can train year-round, which you fully expect that they train in the winter, but no, they train in the summer. So they have the bobsleds. They've got ski jumping, snowboard jumping. They've got luge. And so they do have, we saw them actually, the snowboarders out there, and they were doing snowboard jumping, and they were basically landing on these giant inflatable pillows. I mean, these things are 20, 30 stories tall, and they're jumping off and landing. That's how they learned to ski jump. Now, they did have another one that was the traditional ski jump, where it's, you know, just one big, long chute. And for those, they land in a pool.
Wow.
So
that's
they can,
better than,
they can train you around. Yep. They do have guided tours, and that is an additional cost. It is free to actually go there and watch. You can watch them do things. They do have actually transitioned to try to make money for the Olympic Park. So they do have some alpine slides, some extreme tubing. You can do a bobsled tour. They've got zip lining and ropes courses and things like that that you can do. But I'm really excited. And Connor is, he's a big enthusiast of the Olympics as well. And so he has actually already told me that he's going to Park City in the next few years to go watch the Olympics.
That's awesome. He should volunteer.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
What is extreme tubing?
Extreme tubing. So that is, it's basically you're going down the bobsled, the luge track.
Okay.
In a tube.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm probably more of a like observer now rather than a
non-extreme tuber.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. So in the area right around Park City is also the Deer Valley Canyons Resort. And then within an hour of Salt Lake City, you've also got Brighton, Solitude, Alta, and Snowbird. So like I said, very, very compact if you're looking to plan your ski vacation.
So could you make Park City kind of your base of stay? And
you could, but you're going to, you probably, it depends on how much of a budget you have. Park City is the crown okay. jewel of locations, because it is such a great location for doing all those spikes out. But if you need to cut down a little bit in cost, you want to be closer to Alta and Snowbird.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. And what's Guardian Pass and Wasatch Mountain State Park?
So Wasatch Mountain State Park is the big state park that where most of these mountains are kind of located. There is state park lands, and that's one of the things about Utah is they have lots of state parks and national parks. The Guardian Pass is basically the pass that runs in between Park City and Solitude, Alta, and Snowbird, and Brighton. So you have to go through this pass, which of course is not open year-round. So that means you have to go out and all the way around. But in the summer months and in the fall and late in the spring, the pass does open and you can cross the mountain, and it saves you a lot of time.
Hmm. Cool.
All right. In Antelope Island State Park, it looks like they have bison.
Yes. So Antelope Island State Park is north of Salt Lake City. And so we had some time that we needed to kill before we headed to the airport. So I had actually read in some of the literature that I had picked up that it is a dark sky park. So if you want to go out there, now they don't offer dark skies all the time. You have to sign up for it and be registered. They do it about once a month. And it's a just a wide open area with a couple of hills, and you have to cross this causeway in order to get over to the island, because it's an island located inside the Great Salt Lake. And there's probably 100 head of bison there. Not quite as many as Yellowstone or the Grand Tetons, but it's definitely a place where they thrive.
When you say dark sky park, is this like where people go to stargaze?
Yes. Okay. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Where you're not getting the lights of the city so you can see. I did it many, many years ago when I was down near Big Bend in Interlingua. That's a dark sky area, and you can see the Milky Way run across the entire sky, and they're just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stars that you don't get to see with the naked eye when you're in the city.
That's cool.
Cool. And what about the Great Salt Lake State Park?
So again, we had more time to kill because our flight was not until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we went down to Great Salt Lake State Park, which is actually to the west of the airport. And they do have a pontoon boat tour that takes you out into the lake. And they tell you all about, you know, the ecosystem of the lake, because the Great Salt Lake is a very unique, environment. There are no fish that live in the lake. The only thing that grows in there are brine shrimp, and that is what they use for a lot of Asian cuisine. And actually, so that's one of the major exports for the state of Utah is brine shrimp.
Wow. That's an interesting fact.
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought that. I think of shrimp as like a ocean thing.
These are not the ones you eat. These are, they're about the size of a grain of rice.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But they
pack a lot of flavor.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we finished out the, before we headed to the airport, we went to In-N-Out Burger. Because you know what?
Nice.
When you're out on the West Coast, you go to In-N-Out Burger.
How do you take your burger?
Oh, just plain.
Oh, no. Double animal style.
I barely finished the burger I had that was plain.
Plain. Oh, my God.
Yes. So I highly recommend Park City, Utah, and that area. Utah in itself has so many parks and outdoor spaces, and they are very serious about them. So if you're a serious outdoor enthusiast, this is a place to go.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It definitely sounds like it. All right, great. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.